It's a wake-up call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've had some fun with the Buccaneers-Saints, the fact that both quarterbacks are over 40, but it still should be one of the more interesting of the four games this weekend. Karen Loftus joins us, WFLA. On a Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Karen?
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good. You are an interesting guest because you spent a lot of time in New Orleans and you're now in Tampa. So this game is like a perfect angle for you to sort of give us an insight on how what you think is going to happen at the Superdome.
Yes. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I know that both of the teams so well. I mean, I covered the Saints for three seasons and now I'm, you know, with the Bucs. So I've been covering them for the past year. So I'm very excited about this. I think a lot of people, I would say everybody except Saints fans, are hoping that this one is going to be a lot closer than the last two, especially that second meeting where the Bucs lost by 35 and they didn't even score a touchdown. So
yeah.
I think this is just a completely different Bucs team. And people should be excited for a closer game.
I'm thinking the same thing, too. And we all know that Brady hasn't lost to a team three times. I don't know how many times he's played a team three times during his career. But nevertheless, you expect a different game than what happened in Week 9. But from the Saints' perspective, what have you been seeing in New Orleans or what seeing with the Saints, the way they closed out their year leading up to this matchup?
The Saints are just very good at what they do. And when you have Drew Brees and Mike T is back and AK is back, when he has all the weapons at his disposal, they are so dangerous. That offensive line gives him all the time he needs to stay back there. We know Drew Brees, he's not really necessarily a mobile quarterback, but he has the ability to extend plays, and he's just incredibly talented. And then you talk about the Saints defense. The only thing I'm looking at on the Saints defense is their defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, he was out last game, and he's been limited participation this week with a neck injury. And he's there, leads the team in sacks with 13.5 sacks. So that's something to keep an eye on. Cam Jordan is obviously a menace out there, too. But when they have Cam and Trey out there, that's very, very tough to go up against.
Those two games during the regular season, week one, and we've been talking about this week, look, it can be a throwaway given what COVID has meant for preparations for this upcoming season, no preseason games, not a lot of time to gel if you're a brand new quarterback like Tom Brady. But week nine was a different part of the season for Tampa Bay. They were really going through some struggles. How have they overcome that leading to where they finished?
Right. The big turning point for the Bucs has been their bye week. They had, I think, maybe the latest bye week in the NFL. And since then, they have just played their tails off. And it's been a completely different team. They sort of regrouped, got things together on offense. And we've really been seeing this offensive side of the ball reach their full potential. You know, you're seeing them score more than 40 points in several games. And granted, you know, that was, you know, Falcons and Lions that they were playing against. But still, I mean, you're seeing Tom Brady have time to throw. You're seeing him use all of the weapons on their side of the ball at will and according to their matchups. So that's been the thing that everybody sort of pointed to, is how they sort of regrouped at the bye week after that Chiefs game.
Watching Brady with New England, and we saw it in a couple of Super Bowl matchups, especially against the Giants, if you can pressure Brady, especially getting him up the middle, you disrupt him enough that it gives you an opportunity. Do the Saints do that well enough? Because as you mentioned, Brady has a lot of time in the pocket. He's averaging like 9 yards per throw, which is one of the best in the league.
Yeah, and the Saints are one of the best about getting pressure on the quarterback. So that's going to be the key to this game for both sides of the ball, getting pressure on Brees, getting pressure on Brady. And so that's why I pointed out the Trey Hendrickson on the Saints defensive line, because that's big. And then the other thing on the other side of the ball with the Bucs offensive line, Aaron Stinney is coming in for Alex Kappa at right guard. Alex Kappa suffered a fractured ankle and he's been on their offensive line all season. Aaron Stinney's played a little bit this season. But when you throw a new piece into an offensive line this late in the season, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
Of course, his teammates, you know, Ryan Jensen spoke about him yesterday and said, you know, he's a young guy and he knows what he's doing, and he's had a lot of guys to go up against at practice. I mean, they're going up against, you know, Ndamukong Suh at practice. So it's not like they're not prepared for a good defensive line. But that's, again, something to keep an eye on, is if the Saints decide, all right, you know, fresh meat out here with Aaron Stinney, let's attack that point.
From the Saints' side offensively, we know they have Breeze and Kamara, but this is not the same Breeze chuck it down the field, throw it deep. He's getting a lot of short passes, effective short passes. So in terms of people who have kind of thought the Saints looked like this a couple of years ago, they don't necessarily look like that today.
Right. Well, I think the thing that you pointed out is effective. I mean, Breeze's completion percentage is off the charts, and I don't know if he still leads the league, but he did for most of this season. And if you're moving the chains and moving the ball, you don't need to be having the big splash plays.
Right.
They're winning, and they're finding ways to do it. So I think it's all about managing, you know, who you have at quarterback and being realistic with expectations. So if you're having completions and you're still moving forward, you know, so be it. If that's how you're going to win the game, then that sounds pretty smart to me. And I don't bet against Sean Payton when it comes to offensive game planning.
Karen, when you were in New Orleans, what was the Breeze retirement talk like as he was getting older and he was heading it? You know, Brady wanted to go somewhere else, wanted to keep playing, was trying to play until he's 45. Was there a similar feeling about Breeze? Could you see him being done with the injury that he had this year, being done at the end of this year?
I think that is the popular opinion, and I'm inclined to agree. Especially if the Saints go on to make it to the Super Bowl, of course.
Right.
I think that would almost be guaranteed. If the Saints go to the Super Bowl, if they win the Super Bowl, I think that's it for Drew Brees. But I've seen him, I've been around him, and I see how hard he works at taking care of his body. And he could very well come back for another year. I don't know about two, but I could see him coming back for another year, especially if they keep all of those same pieces, which they pretty much had continuity from last year, too. So,
in terms of Alvin Kamara and what the Buccaneers do defensively, is there an opportunity to slow him down? Did the Bucs do well against the run?
They do. The Bucs are very good against the run. So that's encouraging. But AK is another beast. And I feel like this conversation has turned into me giving so much praise to the Saints, but you got to give credit to where credit's due. I mean, Alvin Kamara, just his balance and his vision and his ability to get up to speed quickly is incredible. And I don't know if people give him enough credit for what he's able to do out there, but he's a tough one to slow down. You know, he's going to be a point of emphasis, you know, contain him, make sure he doesn't get loose on you.
As far as Tom Brady goes, and this has always been fascinating to me in terms of, okay, Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions. We all kind of famously remember that. Here's Brady, who doesn't throw that many interceptions and now is doing what he's doing at 43 years old. What other level has he done with this team? The fact that we've been in COVID, and so he can't do the normal things a new quarterback did this offseason. Although he tried. God bless him, he tried. But at the same time, what else has he done for players like Mike Evans? What has he done to Chris Godwin? What has he done to guys he's brought in? I mean, guys who've come in after him, like Leonard Fournette, like Rob Gronkowski, like Antonio Brown.
Yes. the thing that we're calling it is sort of the Brady factor. And not only does his preparation, his reputation, raise the level of play of the guys around him without even doing anything, like just doing what he does sets an example and sets the bar so high. But then there's also this idea that nobody wants to let him down. Like, he is so meticulous about his preparation. He's such a competitor that, especially when you talk about all the offensive weapons they have, not everybody is getting touches every single game. So there's this pressure that when my number is called, I don't want to be the guy to let him down. I want to come in when it's my turn and do my job. And I think people realize what a special thing they have with Brady at quarterback. I mean, you know, they finished the regular season with 11 wins. I don't think any other quarterback you plug into a team in a first year and they do what he did with this team.
Karen, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you. Enjoy the game. I know it's got a pull on both sides for you, so we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tony. Take care.
Karen Loftus, again, WFLA in Tampa, but spent time in New Orleans covering the Saints for a number of years. All right, more thoughts on that game as we continue along, and just kind of putting a bow on the weekend for this hour, anyway, of the divisional round in the NFL. It's coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.